Absolutely unbelievable. That's a fantastic piece of music, that, isn't it? Hey? It really is. And you know, that was made just for a film, which I won't say what I thought of the film, but basically, hey, what on earth must it have been like on that day when that first Star Wars came? Saw that picture, and it's still on here behind it. Wonder what the music was like. I wonder what the choir was like when the angel and the shepherds first heard it. It must have been just, we think that is stirring, but just put yourself in the picture of that heavenly choir and the music that was coming there. It must have been just beyond everything you could possibly think of. You probably gathered that we're doing a series on Star Wars, A New Hope. Our hope isn't in the stars. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. That's where our hope is. If you've got a Bible, just turn to Luke chapter 2. This seems a bit loud, Mark. If you just turn it down a touch, please, that would be great. We're just going to read part of the story, well-known story, in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Probably something you're very familiar with, and sometimes we get so familiar with it that we just sort of, well, we know that. But when you read it and think of the magnitude of it, it's amazing. Obviously, Mary and Joseph had been summoned to their hometown of Bethlehem, and everybody was moving around at that time, going for this census. There was no way out of it. Everyone had to go to their own town to register. And on the hillside above Bethlehem, we see there were shepherds there. And it says this, shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. I'm not surprised. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior's been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. I'm only going to speak for about 10 minutes, hopefully, and this really isn't a full-blown sermon on this whole aspect, so I know the children are in today, so I'm just going to keep it quite short, but hopefully we'll just get an impact of what this was like. A new hope. A new hope. The wait's nearly over. There's only two more sleeps, if you're counting down. Those who've got the Advent calendars, two more sleeps, two more things to open before the big day. Put yourselves in these shepherd's shoes and the people at that time, they've been waiting 400 years, 400 years for the promise that was coming. They'd been told that their Savior was coming. And every year they would ask, is it this year? Is it next year? And you can imagine a lot of people saying, well, maybe never. I think we've got it wrong. They were under oppression. The Romans were getting more and more oppressive. At this particular time, as I've already said, everybody, no matter who you were, had to go back to where their ancestors came from. So Mary, heavily pregnant with Joseph, had to travel 70, 80 miles, not by train, but on foot and donkey to their hometown. And everybody was going all over the place. Everyone was in fear of their lives. They didn't know what was going to come next. It was an oppressive regime, as we know, further down the story, because of Herod. And people were asking, where is this hope? Where is this one that's been promised? Is he coming? And then as we sang in that song there, just a lowly group, the lowest group you could possibly find. I don't want to sort of stigmatize people today, but you think of a group of people, working group of people today. Maybe it might, maybe my colleagues in Asda, I don't know. If he was coming back today, and that would it be there? I don't know where it would it be in an office block? Where would it be? I don't know. But the shepherds were probably just the most despised and lowly group of people. They were just out there, probably some of them were dozing off asleep. I don't know. And then suddenly, wow, an angel appears. Yeah? Imagine that. No wonder they were terrified. No wonder they were shocked. What on earth is happening here? An angel appearing to us. The first word out of the shepherd's mouth was, out of the angel's mouth was, don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all people. Today, a Saviour has been born for you. He is Christ. And that Christ is not just Jesus Christ's name. That word Christ means Messiah, chosen one. When they heard that he is the Christ, they knew this was the one they'd been hearing about for years and years and years. They'd been told about the Christ is here, the Messiah, the chosen one. Yes, this is the one you've been waiting for, the Lord. It was a momentous occasion. And then we hear that heavenly choir came. The Star Wars music, 1,000 times better, 1,000,000 times better. Imagine what it was like. You think of the most stirring piece of music you think of, and imagine that choir. It must have been absolutely amazing. Fantastic. And it was just for those shepherds. Their value. They must have felt so much us. But yet it was. What was their reaction, I wonder? I wonder if some of them said, well, hang on, let's get back to counting the sheep. 1, 2, 3, I wonder. What did they do? No, that wasn't the case. No. There was something about the urgency of it. It says, no, let's go, they said, let's go. It says, and they hurried off. And they found him, searching everywhere to find him. It was common practice. It still is in some countries to wrap babies in those cloths. So it was probably nothing unusual, but Jesus was the only probably newborn baby in that town. And in a stable, the signs were there. There was no mistake when they found him. Let's go and see him. And the first ever Christmas present arrived. Jesus. Born in a stable. The Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. What did he give? His only son. I don't know what gift you're getting for Christmas. Wonder what I'm getting. I've no idea. Probably getting nothing, Sarah says. Be wearing it next week. But the greatest gift. You've got links, did you, John? Wow. Lovely that, John. I can smell it from here. Whatever gift you're getting, I don't know what it is, how precious it is. But probably, like most gifts, it'll be forgotten. Do you know, I was looking in our bedroom this week and I found 2 presents from last year that weren't even opened. Huh? And you know, sadly, that reminded me that the greatest gift the world ever got, Jesus, so many people have never even opened him, never even given him the opportunity. Because in the plenty that we have and the so much going on in the world, he just gets forgotten. Just got left under a wardrobe. Just pushed into a corner somewhere. Just used maybe as an expletive. Sadly today and on Christmas Day, it'll be the same for so many people. Jesus will be lost and unopened. Today, 2,000 years ago, the shepherds were told, today is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And today, Jesus is still offering exactly the same gift, the gift of himself for you and for me. He loved you so much. He loved me so much. And this Christmas, the gift is still here. Are we going to miss him? Or are we going to have him and accept him and open him up, see what he's got to offer and say, yeah, there's got to be something more than this. There's got to be a better hope. There's got to be a better way. Don't you agree? I think this Christmas has got to be a better way. As we look at the world, as we look at our country, we see the mess that we've made of it. In 2012, 2013, when people are having to go to food banks in Ormskirk and Skelmersdale, have we found the answer? I don't think so. Do you? When people are still warring with each other, when people have got no money and no jobs and no hope, Jesus is saying, look, I am the hope. I am the hope of the world. I am your hope. I am the only way. So this Christmas, what are you going to do with the gift he offers? For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Let's just close our eyes for a moment. God came to the lowest of the low, those shepherds, and said, look, my gift is for you. And today, humanly speaking, most people would say we're just a group of nobodies in Ormskirk. But today he offers us the free gift, exactly the same, of himself. And the choice is ours. What are we going to do? Just in this moment, let's just reflect on another Christmas and ask ourselves, is the true meaning in the centre of Christmas really at the centre of our Christmas? And if it isn't, well, why not welcome him in and say, Jesus, come and be the centre of my Christmas and my life. You are the only hope for the world. You love the world and you gave yourself for the world. You gave yourself for me. Lord, we just want to thank you that you came down for this world because you loved us. And this Christmas, we just want to say thank you for the love that you've shown us. And we welcome you again into our lives, into our futures, because you are the only hope that we have. Amen.